Let's go back in our text. It's the book of John in chapter number 14. And we'll look at point number 2 of 3. That's an important point. It's the crux of our message. And point number 2 is, let me just pause. Is there any question on that point? And you can either ask it now or at the end we'll have some time, I think. I just hope that's clear. Point number 2 is the promise that is unto those who keep His commandments. And the promise is, and we've already talked about it in part, He will be with us and make Himself known unto us. I'll experience the joys of obedience. I'll experience the joys of trusting His power. Verse number 19 through verse number 21. It's the Lord Jesus said, a little while longer, and the world will see me no more. It's their own fault. It's their unbelief. But you will see me. And the only way we do is by faith. It's because I live. I've been resurrected from the dead. I speak in prophecy. Who will live also? If I conquered death, and so you will live also. And at that day, if you will know that I'm in my Father, and you in me, and I in you, there's a union of the Trinity in us, in God the Father, in the Lord Jesus, by the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit and it is Christ in you. Verse number 21, He who has my commandments, they are faith and love that encompasses everything in our Bible and keeps them. He does them. He obeys them. He lives by them. It is He who loves me. If we really trust Christ, if we really love people, then we really love Jesus. And He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself unto him. There are a couple things here I want us to see. First, what does it mean to keep His commandments? And then number 2, what is the reward of it? So the book of 1 John 3 in verse number 23. Now, if the whole Bible has only one message,
what's the message? It's the sufferings of Christ and the glory that follows. And the Lord Jesus said that have repentance and be forgiven of sin must be preached. The only other message I can preach in the Bible is the forgiveness. Well, that's gospel. It's the law. If the law is what condemns, it exposes our sin. It says, if you're wrong, you're going to damnation. But the gospel is the message of this book, even in Deuteronomy, even in the Old Testament. Hear me on this, please. The Old Testament scriptures are preaching Christ just as much as the book of John. If you just have to
see. This morning I was on my walk. And so as I'm up early and I'm out walking, it's the lost boys are out, hungry, looking for food.
The hardship is sad. But in my ear, I'm playing the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 14, up until the end of the book. And there's all these pictures of Christ. And then if you disobey, what happens? If they stone you, and they kill you, and they burn you to fire. That text is not saying unto us right now that if a person sins, they're to be stoned and to be burned in fire. It's the woman that was taken in adultery, right? He preached unto her what? The gospel. He did not stone her and then burn her in fire. Those are pictures. In the New Testament, it's repentance and the forgiveness of sin, right? It's the same in the Old Testament. It's the same gospel message. Don't let a person preach out of Isaiah and not preach Christ. Or out of Deuteronomy and not be preaching the same gospel that you're hearing now. It's the same message in its entirety.
And in the New Covenant, it's the New Testament. His commands towards us are clear. Verse number 21, verse number 22 from 1 John 3. His beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, is we have confidence towards God. And whatever we ask, if we receive from Him, why? Because we keep His commandments and we do those things that are pleasing in His sight. His commandments. What are they in essence?
Are you in the text?
No.
Is he in the text? Is believing in love? If I'm asking a question in the scripture, it's either in that verse, it's in the previous verse, or it's in the next verse. It's in the text.
But verse number 23 says what? And this is His commandment. Here is the summary of everything it means to obey God in the Bible. That we should believe on His name. It's on the name of His Son, Jesus Christ. That law that God gave unto Moses, if you shrink it, it's the Ten Commandments.
But the first half of that, if you shrink it and you open your eyes, it's faith in Christ. You shall not have any other God. How is the only way I can obey that? Put my faith in this. If you're going to keep the Sabbath, how can I obey that? I'm resting in Christ. If the Sabbath was very strenuous, if you couldn't cook, if you couldn't turn on lights, if you couldn't walk too far, if you had to sit and to do nothing all day, And it wasn't on Sunday, it was on Saturday. So all of us are in trouble big time if we're under that law. But in Jesus Christ, I rest from my filthy works. And I trust in His work at the cross. And He said it's finished. And I rest from my own strength. I'm trusting in His strength. And He works in us in power. It isn't us working. It's Him working. It's Him working. It is God that works in you both to will and to do. It's not Christ and us. It's Christ in us. Everything required of me by God that has to do with me loving Him is by faith in Him. If I pray, it's by faith in His Son. If I give, it's by faith in His Son. If I do, it's by faith in His Son. And without faith, it's not acceptance, right? If it is in faith, it can't please God. Oh, we understand that? And then everything else in the Bible is been shrunk into one word that is unto our neighbor. What's that word?
If you love me, is you'll trust in me. Not yourself, not anybody else, not any other preacher. And if you love me, is you will love my people. Is you love your neighbors. Is you love your enemies.
And what will happen unto you and me if we do that? He will manifest Himself unto us.
That's what the text says in John chapter 14. Let's read it again. It's the book of John, chapter number 14, verse number 21. He who has my commandments and keeps them. His commandments are what? Is his commandments are what? It is faith first, and then love. If by faith I do love, I have to keep that first. First thing first is to believe. That's first. It's always first. And then his love is the fruit. He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. Is there anybody else who loves him? Nobody else loves him. And that's a dangerous spot. And it's he who loves me, is he will be loved by my Father. I thought I already was. Yes, I am, but there's more. And I will love him, and I will manifest, I will reveal myself unto him. What does that mean? If the Lord Jesus Christ is going to reveal himself unto us, what does that mean, and how does he do it? Does he show up at the door and say, "Hi, I'm Jesus. I'm John." It's a picture on your wall of a white-skinned man with some long hair. He starts to talk. "Hi. It's a nice job you did." If you wear a cross, if you get a leap and shake, how does he reveal himself? Peace. Holy Spirit. Joy. Comfort. Power. And victory, assurance, and boldness, and courage, and hope, and confidence, and contentment, spiritual energy. I know he's faithful. I know he loves me.
If I knew it, but I obey him, and I know it even more. It's like with Abraham. He knew God, and he believed God, and he obeyed God. But after he lifted up that blade, he saw the ram's bush. He heard God speak and say, "Now I know that you fear me." If the Lord God made unto him plenty of promises, that
let's go back in the book of Genesis in chapter number 22. It is the reward that's of obedience is to see Christ more clearly. It's to know he's faithful. It's to know that I can overcome sin. It's to know that I can endure temptation. It's to know the joy and peace. It's to know he loves me. It's to know by experience. If you get married,
if before you got married, if you knew this man loves you, and you're supposed to be getting married, but after you get married, if you know this man is committed, and you can't know up until after you say, "I do," and you come. It's the same with Jesus in obedience. I know he's faithful. But when I endure and obey him, if I know even more so, he kept me and he gave us the strength.
It's the book of Genesis chapter 22. If we're going to go down actually unto verse number 15. This was after Abraham obeyed. It was after he saw the ram. It was after he said that the Lord will provide. Verse number 15. Then the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time out of heaven. And he said, "By myself I have sworn, says the Lord, that it's because you have done this thing and have not withheld your son, it's your only son, blessing I will bless you, and it's in multiplying, it's I will multiply your descendants as the stars of heaven." He had made this promise all the way back in Genesis chapter 15, but he is reiterating it. Is he saying it again? He's adding assurance and confidence and boldness. That text from 1 John
chapter 3 says, if we obey him, then we have confidence that the things that he has asked is with us.
It's increased assurance. It's increased peace. And I know it's hot. It's becoming a little bit uncomfortable. Let's try to stick with it. And I believe a person went to get on the gin. And if not, it'll be worth it. But he says this. And as the sand that is on the seashore, and your descendants shall possess the gate of their enemies. In your seed all nations of the earth shall be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice. And so Abraham returned to his young men. As they rose, as they went gathered to Beersheba, and Abraham dwelt in Beersheba.
He had the promise. And because of his obedience, he's even more sure. Now, if you imagine Abraham after he went home, how happy was he? He thought, I have to kill my son. But he had enough faith in God to say that even if I kill him, he made a promise, and the Lord is with us. He will raise him up. That's faith. But after God had stopped him, if he went home and he told Sarah that the Lord is with us. The Lord, he has provided. Yes. It depends as to what you mean. If you mean to hear from God, I have to kill my son, no. If the only way that me and you will hear from God is in Scripture. But if you mean that in obeying God, I have even more assurance, I have even more proof. Yes, that's what all means. If I'm a missionary, and I was sure before I left here, it was in my heart, but only after I'm here and I'm in the Word, I'm super sure. If you believe at night that you can overcome sin, then when you do, is you wake up in the morning praising God. I know.
Let's go back into our text. It's the book of John in chapter 14. That revelation,
and I want you to hear that joy, that peace, the end of the guilty conscience. Hear me on this. You and I, we don't have to live a life as a Christian that's overcome by confusion and guilt and shame. I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. And then when I do them, there's extra peace, extra assurance, extra boldness, extra joy, extra comfort, extra confidence. It's the one thing about sin is it destroys peace. But there is something about obedience. It increases peace. That's what I'm saying. And it is so important. Does anyone know the word? It's a hidden issue. It's a hidden issue. You heard of that? It's a hidden issue. It means a lover of pleasure. Is anybody here a lover of pleasure? And always more. If the scripture says, fruit of the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising shame, and he's now set down at the right hand of God. He looked forward unto the joy and endured Calvary's grief. He saw the joy. It's our brother Moses. Hear me. He saw even greater riches in Christ than all the treasures in Egypt. And as me and you, if we have our eyes on the joy of obedience, it's going to keep us from a lot of sin. And the joy of obedience is I don't have to endure the guilt and shame. I don't have to endure the powerlessness and the separation from God. It's very important unto the Christian life. And until you get this, is you're going to be up and down like this. If you get this, it'll make your way even more steady. And you'll have lasting peace, enduring peace. There's a reward. He's a rewarder. And so in that hour of temptation, it's worth the struggle to fight. It's worth enduring. There is joy in the morning. Even if you have to spend all night in torment. It's better. It's better.
Especially as with you young people, we have our lusts. But even with us older people, we have to endure and overcome temptation in order to get what's on the other side of that mountain. And there's joy and peace. He'll make himself known unto you. He'll show himself even more faithful, even more beautiful. As you'll be so happy you obeyed. Let's go back. It's in the book of John. Is I hope this point is sticking. And I don't know if it's the heat or me, but I want you to get the point. And I want it to be left here with you after. It's very vital. He will manifest himself is the highest that me and you can live, enjoying his presence and power. That's why obedience is to be chosen. It's above everything is obedience. It's because its reward is so strong. It's in point three, and it's our last point. It's the book of John in chapter number 14. Excuse me. And so after our meeting, it's in half an hour. It's the book of John in chapter number... Okay. It's in chapter number 14. And we're going to... Verse number 22. And we'll go down to verse number 27. It's the last point is peace. And it says that Judas, not Iscariot, he said to him, Lord, as to how is it that you manifest yourself unto us and not unto the world? It's interesting that the Bible said, not Iscariot. He's not interested, and he's not there. Verse number 23. Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. He's saying it again. And my Father will love him. And we will come to him, and we will make our home with him. That's the blessing. He who does not love me does not keep my words. He doesn't care about my words. He is not obedient unto the gospel. And the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. These things, verse 25, I have spoken unto you as to while being present with you. Verse 26. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, is because of the finished work of Christ. He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. He's going to show us the gospel. Verse 27, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. What's the difference? as to what is the difference in between the peace that Christ gives and the peace that the world gives.
The peace that the world gives is based on circumstances.
Is based on circumstances? And is very temporary. That
bing bing.
If it's a game show, that's the right answer. It's based upon circumstances. Okay, hold that like that. It's the peace which he gives is not based on circumstances. It's based on himself. And it's an internal peace, but it's an indwelling, it's an abiding peace. It's the peace that comes from God himself.
It's not based on merit. It's not based on performance. It's increased in obedience, but it's even in the forgiveness. But it comes, it's from God. It's not from man.
It's by grace, 100% by grace. Absolutely, everything is by grace. It is spiritual peace. It's the best peace. It's the only peace that matters. And if me and you have this inward peace, then we can love and be at peace with our neighbor. And we can enjoy our wives, our children, our husbands, our churches, our friends.
But look at verse number 27. It's a commandment. Let not your heart be troubled, and so neither let it be afraid.
Did you see the commandment? Yes? No? You saw it? What's the commandment? Let not your heart be troubled. Don't let it be. He says, I'm commanding you to have peace. I'm commanding you to be,
is to be content. It's, I'm commanding you to have joy.
And so what is he saying by saying that? He's saying, get those things that I have from you and live by the gospel. He's saying, don't let this thing slip away. Don't just hear this, but put it into practice. Hear me now. Because I'm asking a question. And so as of now, all the answers are here in the front almost. So you put them in the back. With my eyes are open. If I came in here and then I told you that I lost my income, this morning, just the email came and the brother said, if I can't give, I have lost my business. If I came in here and I said that,
and I'm in the pulpit, I'm worrying, I'm distracted, I'm angry, I'm mad at God, and I'm in tears of rage, I'm complaining like Job.
How does that make me be and look in the testimony of the gospel? Am I giving God glory?
No.
And everything else I've been saying about peace, joy, power over sin, is you can look at me like, he needs to take his own medicine. Or position heal yourself. And you have a right to. And so what I'm saying is that the testimony of the gospel and the glory of God, it is so important that I've got to have peace no matter what in my circumstances. This is something that we have to go through God and get. I can't live without it. I can't be disobedient and not have it. That's why Paul says, in every circumstance, in every situation, I have learned to be content. It didn't happen automatically, but it happened. Let's go back to Philippians 4, because we're almost done. And I know that these are some long sessions, and I believe I may try to shrink them down into maybe an hour and a half in Zamfara. But stick with me here. Let's finish. It's the home stretch. It's Philippians 4, verse number 6 through 9. This peace that surpasses all understanding, this power over my circumstances, our circumstances, inside our hearts, this ability to live the Christian gospel with joy in the light of our circumstances. This being in it's a real world. It has some real problems. Me, it's the last 3 months I've been thinking something is gonna happen. And this man is not going to be able to give. It was in my spirit for, it's been up to 3 months. If the Lord has been preparing me that if this day comes, and it comes, if you be at peace and you trust God. But when things happen that shock us, that disappoint us, that hurts us, if the boyfriend, if he says no, if the girlfriend, if she pulls out right before the wedding, after invitations have gone out, if the family member dies, if the job goes away, if the business investment crumbles, I'm not promising you a happy world. That's impossible. It's the promise of God is peace in the heart and power over sin. And we have to take it. If we're going to be witnesses, if we're going to give God glory, if we're going to be comforted, we have to take it. Let not your heart be troubled. That's a command.
That's the command. And we take this command very seriously. And if we obey them, there's a reward. He'll show himself. If I'm able, he says, to actually make you do that, and I'm able to reward you in doing that. That's the promise of God. And so peace is our inheritance. I ought not be a Christian that has no peace.
It'll be things come that hurt my circumstances, that disappoint me and hurt my feelings. But I ought to have my peace at all times. You hear me? But that means if I'm hurting, if I go unto God, if I don't hop online and start to complain with all my friends. If I don't call up a person to start murmuring, oh, it's so bad in Nigeria. It is bad. But have your peace even as you say that and point them to Jesus Christ. You hear me? This is practical Christianity. It is peace, it's practical. It's what I ought to have. It's what I must have. It's what I commanded I have. Not after I get married on the house. That's blasphemy. That's saying that God can't satisfy. That's impossible. If you need to live the Christian life as a single. And then if you marry, it's good. But if not, if we are idolaters, if I can't be happy and at peace if I don't have stuff, I'm an idolater. If I'm saying that this peace I have is in this stuff, that's what the world gives. And the Lord Jesus Christ, He gives peace in Himself. And I must have it. So, if the scripture tells us how to get it, but you got to understand, it must, it's mandatory, it's possible, no matter the circumstance. Hear me. If I come here and say that I can't have peace in the circumstance, am I lying or am I telling the truth? If I tell you I can't have peace in my circumstance, am I lying or am I telling the truth? If I can't have peace,
that's right.
Naturally, I can't have anything. I'm done for. If without Him, I can do absolutely nothing. But in Christ, Him, in me, I can do all things. That's what I was told here. If the Nigerians actually told me this before I came, that's what they told me is, in Nigeria, it's different. It's different. And so I kept my mouth shut. But after I'm here now, it's no different. There is still peace anywhere in this world that you have Christ Jesus. And you still overcome by His power. It's that strong. It's stronger than the Nigerian economy. I'm telling you, this peace is something that we ought to have, that we must have. It's ours in Christ, and we're commanded to it. It's a necessity. I must. This is mine. I must. It's a command. I have to obey. And the command is peace. And what a great, sweet commandment. But here's how we get it. It's in Philippians 4, the last text. It's in verse number 6-9. It's the scripture says, be anxious for nothing. There is not a single circumstance on this planet that me and you are to be in doubt and confusion as if God is not God. He's still on the throne.
He still loves us. He still gave His only begotten Son to take away our sin. He's still in charge of the waves and the sea. He's still is the keeper of His covenant. He's the peacekeeper. He's the peace giver. No matter what happens, our God did it. You hear me? Hear me.
It's in my spirit. I want to hop up on here and just get everybody. Just hear it. Come closer. Huh? If He kills her, if she lives, it's God. And who loves us more than God? Nobody. Who's more faithful than God? Nobody. Who's wiser than God? If the answer was no, if you ask her, you say, I love you, baby. And her response was no. Who ordered that no out of her mouth? God did it. God did it. He ordained it. And He did it in love. And He did it in wisdom. And if the best thing is yes, then you can pray to God and He'll make her say yes. And if the best thing is no, then it's no. He knows exactly as to what He's doing.
So, don't be anxious. But in everything by prayer and pleading, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. Oh, my Master,
if I love her so much, but she said no, and she walked away, and I pray and plead, Lord God, please change her mind. In everything, by prayer, if your business is bad, pray. If you're sick, pray and take your medicine. Please go see the doctor. If your money's tight, pray. If you want your insurance, pray. But if prayer is pleading and it's with thanksgiving. Now, if everything I have on earth is lost, if I'm in a prison that's open to God, what do I have to do? If I'm like Job, if all my children are dead, I have a murmuring wife, I'm sick from head to toe, I've lost all my money, my health is gone, I've lost everything in this world, and even my friends are accusing me. What do I have to be thankful for? Everything I have in Christ Jesus. I haven't lost any of the unsearchable riches of life. I still have to be thankful for God, who He is. He's faithful. He keeps us. He loves me. He saved my everlasting soul. If I'm only here for short, temporary time, this will be over. Oh, I thank you, God, that you have promised me peace in this situation. I thank you that Christ has put away our sins. Our sins. If our sin is the wrath of God, if it's not punished and paid in Christ Jesus, that's to be thankful. He chose us. Now you don't get it. Listen to this. If He didn't choose you as Jacob, you, me, I would be in hell with Esau. There's absolutely nothing I could have or would have done. I'd be helpless. I'd be mastered by Satan. I couldn't hear the gospel. To my own eyes, I'd be blind. You believe that? 100% hell if you didn't choose God. Hmm? That is the us. That is the last God in the world. I'm telling you, be thankful.
Be thankful. In everything that happens, I still got Jesus Christ. Verse number 7. If you're thankful, if you trust God, if you approach Him in prayer, I don't know what's going to happen.
In my finances, if I have to get a job in the U.S., and then I have to head back there later, I don't know what will happen. But I can ask God, and He'll show me. His own power. He planned that this message on peace, I'd be preaching it in my 800 cut. It's a cut by the head of the sick. And in the morning, because I might be shaking, but I still have to go and get my peace.
I have to live in peace. I have to walk in peace. I have to be an encouragement. I have to point other people unto Christ. I can't murmur. I can't complain. It's not allowed. It's sin. Verse number 7. If you do that, the peace of God is which surpasses all understanding. It will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. That's the blessed promise.
If you do what God says, if you pray, you make it a question, but if you're thankful, He will give you peace. And it will guard your heart, it will guard your mind, since your eyes are on Christ Jesus. Is that true?
Is it true?
Yeah.
Is you have to experience. Verse number 8 and 9, we're done. And so finally, brethren, it's whatever things are true, that's the gospel. If whatever things are noble, it's my response. If whatever things are just, that's what God says in His Word. If whatever things are pure, it's even in my thoughts. If whatever things are lovely, He's faithful. If whatever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there is anything praiseworthy, it's you meditate on these things. Is you keep your mind on the gospel, the word of God, the promises, His commands, His warning, His teaching, the instruction. Let the Holy Spirit put you in remembrance of everything about Christ in your difficulty. It's the things He said in verse 9. And it's a perfect verse to end the seminar. It's the things which you have learned and received, and heard, Paul says, and you saw them in me. Did the Apostle Paul act in peace? Did he live in peace? If he's in prison, and he's writing a letter, he's in prison peace. Yes. He's in prison as he's writing this right here. Those things that you saw in me, these do. And the God of peace, He will be with you. This is what I'm saying in conclusion.
If you look at Paul, if you can't say why, then not act in the same way. He's not meant to be a hero that I admire and then I act in my own way.
He's an example. He's a person that me and you are to act like. It's the same thing that he did is by trusting Jesus Christ. It's the same thing that me and you are. I'm to live the same life as Paul. I'm to have the same peace. I'm to have the same joy. I'm to have the same comfort. I'm to have the same power. That's what we said. And the gospel speaks, if you put your mind on the gospel, it is the reason why the same God has a good cause to get you on the ship. He's a God of the love of God and of the valley. Right? Well, the Lord bless you. And are there any questions? Is there anything unclear? Yes, sir. Are you clear? Did you open?